Hey, hey, welcome to BAM, Now You Know Everything, the podcast where two chuckleheads like us talk about whatever we want, and hopefully you like how weird we get.
And hopefully you're just as weird or weirder. And I had sent you, Nika, a voice message because I went into our email, and we had gotten this email from a Michael, I want to say, talking about the Gateway tapes and kind of going into it.
Amazing.
And I was like, oh. This is interesting since I'm watching Hellier that's based upon interesting emails regarding paranormal things from people who sometimes are not even real. So, Michael, I'm not questioning you're real or not. I am just saying the synchronicities of everything we're talking about and getting this email is making me feel like famous a little bit, and I love it, but I'm also a little like, who's trying to contact me?
I'm J.R. Phillips. I'm the one that won't shut up, and yeah, you can't make me, okay?
And I'm Nico Harlekenden. I'm the one who took notes, lit them on fire, and then started a completely separate new project instead.
And welcome to BAM! Now You Know Everything!
Yeah. And he goes, I am a superstar in the email, which I love. And I didn't have time to like go back and look at the Gateway Tape episode to see, because he had said he commented on it. And I was going to go back and look. But then I was like, but right now I'm having a really fun time imagining that you're not real and that you are an entity that's just trying to get me to like go down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Wait a minute. But so maybe Michael Superstar, are you like the Mothman or other ultra terrestrials and you're trying to coax JR, our clairvoyant dream voyager, into alternate dimensions and trap her there?
Oh man, I better have good food and or other aesthetically pleasing things about this world. But it just was an interesting concept that happened. And it happened on a day that, and obviously we all know our phones are listening to us. We yeah. all know that they're like gathering that data. So my phone knows I'm watching Hellier. My phone also knows I'm talking about it a lot. But what my phone doesn't know is what I'm writing about currently, like on Substack. So on Substack, I've been writing a lot about dark mirrored lakes, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not new. Okay. I know I'm not inventing it. A lot of writers are drawn to that as a portal or, you know, whatever. But specifically, the last three writings that I posted, Ellen Poe, Dark Mirrored Lake, Night Watch, has a lot of dark, murky lakes, water systems. And then I just wrote Winter Wonders.
Yeah.
And it's an Alice in Wonderland kind of twist to it. And it ends up in a dark mirrored lake. And I'm going to describe to you what I imagine every time. Okay? Please. Every time I'm writing about a dark mirrored lake, I'm imagining like a foggy, misty, black water. Because it's night, of course, or it's a really like overcast day. There's pine trees surrounding it. It's in the middle of like a mountainous forest. It's not just like in the middle of like a flatland forest that has like sparse spruce trees and it's hot as hell because that's where I live and I don't want to write about where I live. I hate it here. So I want to write about like cold weather, right? And like that autumn vibe. So I've imagined this lake a million and one times. I'm scrolling like we do. And I come across weird Appalachian tales. And I'm like, oh, I've been talking about that. That makes sense. And hellier, of course, Appalachian. But what I wasn't expecting was to stumble across Wayne's National Forest, which is very close to Hellier, which I found out after I was bamboozled by my brain, because this guy has a drone, right? And he's flying it through the trees, and it's spooky, and it's gray, and it's black, and it's dark, and it's everything. And what does he get? What does he find? A dark mirrored lake surrounded by pine trees that have a fog around it. The exact thing from my brain. And I know it doesn't sound like anything because everybody pictures shit all the time. But I don't know how to explain when you've had the image in your brain that you've been trying to describe in writing for so long. Right? And then you just see it and you're like, what? And it's in Ohio of all places, and it's on the border of Ohio and Kentucky, and I like looked up the map. It's like a couple hours. One of the entrances is only a couple hours north of where they did a lot of their filming.
So when we go to do, when you come visit me to do a convention, are we going on a little road trip?
I would love that. I would love that. They have a lot of stories up there, a lot of cautionary tales, right? Like, you know, of what to do and not to do. And I was just really blown away to the point that I had to like make a note of it because I had to remind. And the main thing from the Hellier episode that I just finished was all about liminal spaces, liminal things, transition periods. I am a walking liminal space right now. I am in between jobs. I'm in between projects because I just finished like Where Magic is Made, right? I am focusing on transitioning my efforts to something else. I am freaked out, okay? Bottom line is I'm a little freaked out but excited. But also a little freaked out because, you know, that part of you that's like, you don't want to be the crazy person. So you like don't want to like let it all in because then like you're in like a padded wall system and stuff. But then the other part of you is like, if you don't let it all in, if you don't let it all in, it's just going to pass you by because it's like, you know, you weren't as cool as I thought. So now I'm like,
you weren't as cool.
So now I'm like, do I just... So I'm just like remaining open-minded like we've been talking about.
Yeah.
The Gateway tapes I am excited to get to, and Michael has made me even more excited to get to because now I'm feeling like we're connected or connecting two things right now. The Gateway tapes mixing in with Hellier, which is kind of like how we started this segment of our latest episodes, right? So yeah. Now I'm like, I'm just very intrigued. And as a writer, who cares if I get delusional? Oh, it's like content, okay? I can write about it and it's fine. And it's fine. But
listen, if tech bros with tons of money are allowed to have AI psychosis, we can have a little fun with this, okay?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, actually, somebody was, not to switch up. I know we just did a segue. Great segue. I didn't, you know, but
there was more to say about that too. So if we need to bounce back, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm leaping on that because somebody was like, you know, you think these guys are normal and you think that they're smart, but they truly believe that AI is going to like murder them or ruin their lives, or you know, they really believe it
to
be godlike.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, even if it is godlike, it's not gonna just be like, oh, you were cool to me, so I'm not gonna be your overlord. It's still gonna be your overlord, dude. Like it's gonna be your overlord even more because you're already on your knees for it. So it's already like,
damn,
oh, easy.
Do I love that line. Absolutely. They're S in the AI's D.
Yeah. Honestly.
Put it in a poem.
Oh, my God. We're over it this week, can you tell, guys? But we're so glad to be here talking to you. I'm personally glad to be here talking to JR.
Yeah, it's just a little light at the end of the week. Like, we've got a lot of music festivals. The fact that we have to call them freaking music festivals instead of, like, what they actually are should be a red flag for every single global citizen on Earth. But, you know, some people are just like, I wish you guys would just be quiet. And it's like, I wish you would just go to the island by yourself. Like, I wish I, you know, we don't talk about the island issue, the files, right? But we now know.
Oh, I see. I finally picked up your thread. Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Sorry.
It's good.
You know, we know that there's an island that exists that billionaires love to go to, right? So just go there. Just go there and circle jerk each other and leave us alone. Leave us alone. We will send you greeting cards saying how amazing you are and how thankful we are and how whatever. If it keeps you on the island, if it keeps you there.
Go to music festivals. Enjoy your life. Choose life.
I'm going to an actual music festival in November, right? Warped Tour.
I was gonna say, right. Warped Tour. I was going to say Bonnaroo.
I am not that rich. I feel like Bonnaroo's like rich people. Bonnaroo, Burning Man, and what's the other one? Coachella. Those are like, those to me are like, you're rich, you got an outfit for every hour, and you're like, okay with hanging out in the desert because you're bringing a generator with you or, you know, wherever. I don't know. I would love to go, don't get me wrong. Like, but I know that's probably not happening.
It's not in my cards, as they say.
In my youth. Maybe when I'm like 70 and I'll just have like the sickest outfit because it won't matter.
So weird.
And I'll just show up. Oh, scaring the youth.
Big fuzzy magenta boa situation.
Yeah, like there was that old lady that was like big for a while. And she like always had like a cigarette and she had like cool colored hair and she looked like probably like 70s, 80s.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But she's like been a meme forever. And I'm like, that's goals right there. I don't want to be smoking a cigarette, but I do want to be pastel-y and cute.
Yeah.
I want a cute era, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not yet. It's not happening now. But
I think it is.
Oh, pastel me? Mm-mm. Pastel era is not until golden.
No, cute era.
Oh.
Cute era is real. It's live and in Technicolor.
Technicolor. Oh, God. I don't know. Sam has been sending, our friend Sam, he has been covering the TikTok merger or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a good fancy word that I was instead of just like, but I don't necessarily understand it. I mean, I know in the core of it, it's just billionaires trading the same dollars back and forth. And like they want this algorithm, but then they're just going to take this algorithm. And I feel like they're just going to shred it. I don't think they like us having ways to make money from one another. You know, I just like don't think they like small business as much as they pretend to love it, you know? But it makes me think about Amazon, and I wanted your opinion about Amazon because it's coming up, right? Blackout dates of not using certain websites, not buying from certain things.
What? Like, tell me about this. I'm so sheltered right now. I'm just out of the loop.
So people are organizing, I think in September, like September 16th through 19th or something like that, to just, you know, don't go to work,
like just blacking out the system. One of the main things that we can do as people, it's nonviolent and it sends a message. And that's what they've done in, I think they did it in Korea, right? They did it in a couple of other places where they were just like, no, we don't agree with martial law. So we're just not going to show up to work. Like, you're not going to make any money from us, which I'm totally about. But when it comes to a longer terms, like a lot of people say, boycott Amazon, don't use Amazon. But there are a lot of small businesses on Amazon, right? It is hard to differentiate between small business and fast fashion and whatever, but they do exist and a lot of resellers exist on there.
Drop shippers too.
Technically. I'm not going to go to Target. I'm not going to go to Walmart. Obviously, I'm not buying a Tesla. Like, I can't afford to anyway. But Amazon is such a global thing that makes getting vitamins and food and small business and things like that moving. It just sucks that we're a country and a people of middlemen, and middlemen grub up all of our money instead of just letting us like live and thrive, you know?
That's where all the money is, in the middlemen.
Yeah.
If you cannot do the work yourself, but organize what you can to distribute, then you can name your price.
I do have to be careful with what I say on here, but I was just discussing with somebody in my family who does not share a lot of the same viewpoints that I do.
Okay.
And they say a lot of progressive things all the time, but they don't realize that they're being progressive because progressive has become like this icky word. RFK Jr., I guess, said something about chemicals in our food in America, but not in Europe. So I can agree with something that he's saying and not die. Okay. I'm not keeling over like, oh no, I agree with this guy that I don't like necessarily believe is qualified. Like, I go to Europe, I eat a bunch of cheese and bread, and I don't feel like I'm going to die. I come here, I eat cheese and bread, and I feel like I'm going to die. So, like, there's definitely a difference in quality. Anyway, so this family member brought it up and I was like, yeah, he's correct. And let's think about why America is like that. Like, why do you think we're like this? And she didn't really answer me, you know, because like, you know, she sends
that
trap.
Not included in the talking points, right? And that's all most Americans have time for, the talking points that are meant to be persuasive one way or right. The other.
That's so true. Exactly. It's like we only have time for talking points. We only have time for certain things because we're worked to death. And we also just have a lot of other things that we want to do that are instant gratification. You know, we don't want... As a people, it's hard work to keep a government in check because we want to just trust that the government wants us to be happy, alive, thriving, and, you know, making them money in the process. But what we don't understand, or some people, is that they don't care if we're alive and we're thriving and anything because they just want us to keep having freaking babies so that they can replace it, or they're going to ship them in from overseas and then make you hate them. So it's like, you know, it's ridiculous. It's like you can't just tell us these fairy tales anymore, even though, oh my
seems like
God, the PBS, we're going to talk about the PBS.
You got to catch
they
up.
They have Christopher Columbus on PBS saying, you know, slavery existed worldwide, so it's not really that big of a deal that America had slaves.
Voiced by Mickey Mouse?
Am I doing a good Mickey Mouse? Okay.
You're a really good Mickey Mouse.
I was not trying.
Actually, I was. Of course I was. I'm brilliant. I'm the best.
You are an excellent narrator, audiobook narrator. That's why I hired you.
And it'll be all in Mickey Mouse. I'm just kidding.
Dude, the most forbidden, because Walt Disney will come and sue our ass.
I know. Oh, my gosh. He'll rise from the grave, actually, and be like
his cryogenic tank.
Da-da-da. Oh, I feel like a lot of people just have been learning history this last, like, couple months anyway.
From PBS?
Well, PBS, now they're like, they're not going to come for PBS. And then they came for PBS and we can't watch Sesame Street. Now we have a cartoon, Christopher Columbus, who is saying, you know, being a slave is better than being dead. Are we forgetting some key things? Well, Christopher Columbus, I hate him, okay? I hate him. I don't necessarily hate Mickey Mouse, but I don't love, you know, Christopher Columbus. I never understood, after learning about the Trail of Tears, why we were so, like, into Christopher Columbus, like, why we had a day. He got lost. He didn't even go the right way. He went back 3 times as a failure. And then when he was recognized, it was because he had underage natives on his ship that he was marrying off, child brides. We don't want to stop child brides. No, we want to make the age of consent 14. That's what America wants to do.
Goddamn.
You know, Nico's been really busy. She's been doing a lot of bookmarks, pre-orders. She's got a really cool thing going. And because of that, we haven't been able to talk that much. So if you don't notice, I'm just sort of just like, right in your face. Because I've been having a lot of this pent up, you know, rage. You know, whatever. No one to talk to about it. I have like 3 people I could talk to about it without them, their eyes glazing over and being like, can you just like be quiet? So,
yeah. Yeah. So, listeners, I need this. Just listen along. I need to be caught up by my friend, my one friend. You may have 3 friends, Jess, but you're my only one. I've just been talking at work and then quietly, silently working at home by myself. And it's okay.
I'm imagining even your little hobble. You're like, you exit, you know, your leadership meeting, team meetings, you know, whatever. And then you put a little shawl on and you go to your... You go to your little workstation and you're like, I must clip these bookmarks
by hand, by the light of a lantern.
These are all for the readers. This is all for you.
I do it for you, readers. I don't know why. Salad fingers?
I love it. No, actually, I was imagining that voice. I was imagining like a Baba Yaga, you know, like a little, you know, like.
Yes, she's right, you know. Folks. I'll be 40 soon.
Sagittarius, where are you going to go? What are you going to do?
Nothing. Probably nothing.
You know, I know you're a Sagittarius in the front, but you're a real Capricorn. You're a real Capricorn. You don't want to do anything for your birthday. You want to just hide away from the world with your good bone structure. That's why everybody asks you in the grocery store if you're a witch, because you've got brilliant bone structure.
Witches have good bones?
They gotta have good bones. I mean, that's why everybody was jelly of them in the beginning. All those men were like, why don't I have a jawline like that, burner?
Your jawline's not weak enough. To the bonfire.
How we can tell it's a witch? Beautiful, get her out of here.
Handsome Squidward, burnt.
Drowned. You do not look like a handsome Squidward. What the fuck?
Just joking. Just maximizing the absurdity as in all circumstances.
Oh, maximizing looks, looks maxing. Have you heard of this?
I have.
Okay, mewing, right. But have you heard of black pill?
Have I heard of black pill? Of course I have.
Oh, okay. You're the first person I've asked that says yes.
Really?
And I, because I have just...
You live on the internet.
That's true. But I thought I did too. And then I realized I did not. So, and I did not realize it was mainly 10 to like 15 year olds doing
impressionable
this.
Youth.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And like they're feeling defeated because they don't look a certain way and they're like ending their lives. Yeah. And like they, or like, unless they're rich or they can find a way to get money so that they can change the way they look, like all this stuff. And they really believe they're not going to have a great life because of how they look. And we can admit that there is certain things that are easier when you are maybe a little bit more attractive, right? Pretty people, privilege is definitely a thing. There's also cons that come with when you're overly attractive, especially as a female, when you're just like seen as just looks and you don't have a brain kind of thing.
Especially if you're not white, especially if you're poor.
Exactly. So there's like a lot of things that go with it. But I just want to tell the youth, and maybe it's the teacher in me that just feels like I need to, but it's like, as an average person, my entire life, I have some above average features, and then I have a lot of average across the board, and I am in a very happy life. I've never met like a roadblock because of it. And I know also it's because I'm white and because I have the family that I had too, like the support system that I have. So you can't equate to everything being like face value, right? You have to be able to be like, well, I have these other intangible things going for me. Right. Even if you have an uncle that says all the time, you're lucky, you're pretty. It's like you gotta just take it with a grain of salt. But these young boys, these young men, especially because like girls are kind of used to it. We get it all the time. Like media.
I was gonna say, like, this reminds me of puberty, like girlhood puberty when we were growing up. Was very similar. We just didn't have a tropey meme name to call it.
And we also didn't have like the internet making hashtags and memes like we know now. We had things like that and texts and chains and chat rooms and
weird. But it wasn't in our pocket.
No, it wasn't in our pocket. And when I was in high school, it was still such a wall because not everybody did. Now everybody universally pretty much has access to like send these cyber chain bully email, not emails, but texts or posts and all this stuff. And it's like, it's so sad that 10-year-olds are like calling themselves, well, I'm just a sub 5.
Hate that. Like, yeah.
I'm like, you're 10. Your bones haven't even fully developed yet.
Yeah. I wish we didn't have to commoditize everything.
Yeah. And I think that's why we're starting to see such this big pushback and this push through for like new types of influencers.
Mm.
Like that don't all share the same features.
Okay, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, like noses has been like a really big thing. Now, my algorithm could just be algorithming and making me feel like, you know, people are maybe being normal. But people
I've
are
always
like,
thought weird noses are so hot.
Steve Carell has a big nose. Stay with me. He's got a big, prominent nose. And I think it's what makes him really attractive. Like,
okay.
And I know it's weird because it's like Michael Scott, but
I love it. I just have always thought that interesting features with kind eyes mm-hmm. and are always maybe a little dark and brooding eyes are good too, you know, whatever, you know, vampire.
Yeah, but like but, also, aren't we kind of like socialized to think that? You know?
Yeah.
Aren't women socialized to think that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like, because we're supposed to think interesting features, right? Because not a whole lot of men have in the past been going out to get different surgeries. Now that's changing. And they're getting like fillers, calf implants.
I have seen like, those.
I don't like that. I understand now why some men will be against like wanting their like women have plastic surgery and not the ones that are crazy with like the church, whatever, guys. I'm just talking like the guys that like actually love you and like care about you. And they're like, why would you go and like want to look different? Like, I love the way you look. Like, that's what, you know, that kind of vibe, right? Like, not a superficial thing. And now I kind of get it because at first it was like, why wouldn't you want me to look like that? Like, I would look like beautiful, like they are on the billboards. But now I kind of get it because I'm like, if you got a calf implant, I just, it makes me get the heebie-jeebies. Not that it doesn't look good, but it gives me the heebie-jeebies. And then I'm like, wow, I'm like a weirdo man right now. It's like with my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's not natural, honey? Oh.
Only the most natural calves for me.
It's like from How I Met Your Mother, Lily, like obsessed with Marshall's calves and he like rubs on lotion in the middle of dinner.
Gross.
And I was always just like, why is this a thing right now? What is happening?
Oh my God, that's funny. No, I like broken noses, like fucked up.
Like Owen Wilson.
Owen Page Wilson. There are more. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Break it. Yeah. Delicious.
A little rough, like you could take a punch. My instincts are tingling.
My instincts.
It's just like that feral energy that I think both men and women like to see in each other because it's like a passion.
It's also distinctive. It catches your attention.
Yeah.
I think that's what I wanted to say. That's what you made me think of when we were talking about this just a second ago. It's like the thing that makes all of this worse, black pill, the commodification of like features and just capitalism overall, is that we're not present enough today in our lives by necessity. We always talk about it. We're always going to come back to it. But and I'm not saying like we all need to develop a meditational practice, but if you're spending most of your life not feeling alive, having moments that are meaningful to you, nothing's going to feel good. Everything will feel futile.
Exactly. And it's like when you're walking around not feeling real, like not like you, I don't feel like myself today. And that phrase has been more and more popular because it's like, how could you feel like yourself? You're watching a TV show, imagining being the character in the TV show. You're watching some influencer talk about a product and you're imagining what your life would be like having this product and somehow miraculously being better in some way. It's just like you said, your life becomes futile. It's like, what's the point? Nihilism runs rampant. And you kind of lose the plot, right? You lose yourself. And I definitely have noticed now that I've started a semblance of a routine again, like walking my dog every morning, working on writing in my actual journal, not anything like the artist's way, like we kept saying we were going to do.
Listen, yeah, whatever.
It's whatever.
But writing in the way of like, I'm writing something productive on a project that I'm working on. I'm actively pursuing a goal because I just met a goal and you just met a goal. And you and I aren't even like celebrating it as fully
as we could.
You know what I mean?
Like, stop being right.
Like, you have a whole book, a whole like artistic project that you're doing within the book. You have things going out, something that was a goal that's coming to fruition. And so many of us make goals and we don't make it to the goal. We just go, oh, well, let me change it and go here. But we've made the goal. Like, we've both created books. We've both brought together different indie authors. You are, like, actively working on the next part of your goal. So it's like, both of us kind of need to sit back, take our own advice, and be like, you know, I did do something. I did complete something. Is it going to make me rich overnight? Was that even the goal, right? You know, that's probably not even either of our goals in the long run. I think everybody's goal is to just be able to live, you know, in general and not worry about their next meal.
But, most people. Not all people. There's some shitheads out there.
Yeah. And some people think they are owed something because they've worked on something. And it's like, just because you've worked on something, like, great job, like you did it. But did you do it well and with your whole intention behind it? And like, for both of our projects, I know, and I might sound biased, but I know that we did it well. Like, I'm looking at my book and I'm like, no, this is good. Like, I've read all the stories in here, and I'm somebody who doesn't love to read. I love to listen. So for me to have like, oh no, I want to turn the page on all of the stories, I'm like, oh, this is good. Like, this was a good team. And I know you have similar feelings too, or you wouldn't be so impassioned about it and for sure, so focused on it. And I just feel like, where are my goddamn balloons? You know, like, why didn't I do something for myself? Like, in that sense. And I know I'm not at the end, you know, of the road or whatever. Like,
there's still stuff time to do for celebration.
But it's like, we're going to say that, and knowing us, are we ever going to fucking celebrate? You know? I think we will. I think it will happen. I just think we both are very much like, yeah, we did that. It was cool. Okay, what are we doing now? You know? Like, that kind of thing.
There's a lot going on in the world right now, and I think there's some stuff, like, you're getting used to your life, like, I'm just dealing with life and stuff like that too. And like, I think it's like when people look back at their births of their children or milestones that their children had, and they're like, it's like that Cats in the Cradle, right? Moment.
Yeah.
They look back, they missed it because they weren't there the way they wanted it to be.
And it's kind of like when you have a child, a pet, a book. I'm going to piss every mother off.
fuck you, moms. No way. Our books just as important as your kids.
But when it comes to kids, there's always the next milestone, right? There's always the first birthday. There's always a first around the corner. And with a book, it's similar in a way because it's like, okay, this is my very first book that I've put together, published, formatted, done all the works for. And now I'm like, well, the next goalpost, you know, the next first thing is marketing and this and blah, 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 you know, whatever. So it is interesting how, and I don't think we're alone in this.
No way.
But when you're a driven person, and you have goals and you're meeting them, you get excited to meet the next goal.
It's not the goal that's fun, you guys. It is the pursuit.
the journey, right? Not the destination, man.
The chase, Jess.
Oh.
The we're chase playing hard to of get. The goal.
We're talking about serotonin, not the dopamine of reaching your
goal. We're
on
goal. The hunt.
What the hell is that? It pales in comparison.
I don't know who I was talking to, but I was like, you know, formatting a book doesn't give dopamine. I said it to you, and I think I said it to somebody else, too, recently. I think Thea, I was telling her, and I was like, this is no dopamine for me, which is why I haven't written what I need to write for them. So I'm like, I need to get it.
So when is your release date for Where Magic is Made?
Currently September 9th is what I have it, I don't know how I can maneuver with, this is my first one. So I'm using Amazon for KDP. It's just easier to do, but I'm like, maybe I'll just let it go to Amazon and like not, I don't think I'm going to worry about pre-orders this first time. I think that would give me a headache.
Anxiety.
And anxiety. I know I'm going to have to do a lot of legwork to even get the knowledge of this out in the way I want it. So I'd rather have it in my hand, being like, hey, guys, I did this, and do it the old-fashioned way.
Hell yeah.
And then pay somebody. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay somebody to mark it for me. I've decided. I'm tired of wearing all the hats, you know? We wear so many hats.
I know. We've got some friends with some virtual assistants and personal assistants. And I'm like, that sounds so good.
I know. I'm like, maybe I need that. I'm tired of being like, hey, what are you doing to like different people that aren't as passionate, you know? And I get it. It's not their baby. It's my baby. So I got to take accountability. And know my limits kind of thing.
Limits? What the fuck is that? That's a dirty word in this household, Missy.
There are a lot of marketers that slide into indie author DMs. But it's like, they talk a good game. But I need to see some results.
So I was talking to another Pisces, and I was like, I feel like it's vibing really well. I feel like everybody who's working on things is starting to, like, fucking skyrocket. Like, now's the time. We're seeing success. It's just the little first tastes of success, right? And it's enough to keep us going, and I feel, like, very hopeful despite any sort of setbacks. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Yeah, the setbacks come, but that doesn't mean you're not doing what you need to do or not in the realm of where you need to be. Like,
part of me thinks that, like, two things. 40s, 50-year-olds sometimes give up in greater numbers. So maybe they don't give a shit about being taken seriously.
The burnout hits.
Yeah,
I think.
Middle-aged burnout is real. And then the other thing is, I think maybe by the time you get 40s and 50s, you're a little bit wiser and you're like, I don't need the recognition. Maybe that's distracting from like real success.
Yeah. And I think like when you're in your 20s, you have a lot of big ideas, right? Like go get gumption. And there's some people out there in their 20s that are grinding and doing what they need to do for sure. But when I was in my 20s, I was not holding myself accountable to time. I was writing garbage that I thought sounded like the most philosophical thing that anybody had ever heard.
It happens.
And everybody goes through it. Yeah. And I think middle age is like that sweet spot where like you kind of start recognizing what sounds a little cringy and a little like, everybody's already said that. How can I show this in a different, really a different light? Not like gratuitous, not shock value, but like a truly in-depth thing. And dropping goals. Like, I don't need to do this. This is not serving me. erase it.
So easy when you're in survival mode and you're that young and you have to start over again so many times. It feels so Sisyphus-like.
Explain the word.
So Sisyphus, the myth of Sisyphus, is that guy who was rolling that boulder up that hill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
I don't know why.
It's almost like futile.
But Atlas just held the world.
Atlas was tricked into holding the world forever.
Okay. Yeah.
Sisyphus had like a punishment or a sentence in the underworld to every day have to push that boulder up that goddamn hill and do it over again every day.
He must have been fucking jacked.
I thought you were going to say he must have been a real fuckboy.
No. Oh my gosh. See, I love mythology, right? And I know a lot of the stories, but the pronunciation gets me every time. So this is, I love it because every time you will say a word or a name perfectly, and then I'm like, oh, I just learned something new. And technically I did and didn't because I did know, but I never pronounced that correctly.
Oh.
And I think I was like doing like Sai instead of Sit.
You're a reader.
Typical.
Also, it's a long dead language. Maybe you're right.
No, I am not right. I will say there's a lot of things that I could maybe guess on a test and be very correct on. Pronunciation is not one of those things.
So it would be Sisyphian. Sisyphian? I don't know.
I'm
we'll
starting
to
just think syphilis. So
it's so syphilitic. Gross.
You just don't get it.
skin falling off. Yeah. Not to proliferate a rumor that is unsubstantiated, but I hear that someone high up in government allegedly, the big rumor is that they have
syphilis.
Syphilis and it's gotten to their brain. I doubt it's true, but
it
would
be funny.
Are
we talking about
a head of state?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't put it past that every single person in the cabinet has gotten like some brain implant AI chip, and they're just, you know, functioning off of it. You know, plant that, like, all that shit's gone live now, all that AI. And they just shoved it in their brains like Musk told them to do. And now they're regretting it because they all hate each other. So I will say this before we, you know, go or whatever.
Before we lie to our beloved audience.
A lot of people say, you know, they're starting to get concerned that even if something horrible happens and our president is no longer with us, that we're just too far gone, right? Like a lot of people are saying this. But I will remind everyone that in World War II era and World War I era, a lot of anti-Semitism was happening globally. It wasn't just a pinpoint area, and it wasn't that, you know, Hitler just lost to get into art school. Remember that theory that, like, was going around, like, he hates them because he didn't get into art school. That is not why anybody starts hating a group of people to the point. It was always there. It was prevalent.
Troll.
Yeah, it was prevalent across Europe, in America, everywhere, was super anti-Semitic. It was an easy, low-hanging fruit for him to pick on and get people behind him because they're like, well, I'm not Jewish, right? I'm not Black. I'm not an immigrant. I'm not, you know, it's easy, right? Like, I'm not gay. So to have all of those things happen and then when he ended his own life, things changed drastically. And I'm not saying that I'm wishing any ill upon anybody. I am just saying that most cults die with their leader. Also, watch the South Park episodes. It'll make you feel better a little bit.
Even though I was like crying. Because of all the puppies.
Likening a certain head of state to Saddam Hussein was very funny.
Mm.
A South Park.
Yeah. Like, you can't say you've been against government and then are like, you know, the government's doing a good job right now. Like, that doesn't work. Like, you either don't like the government or you do. All right, that's all we have today. I'm Bam, Now You Know Everything. I'm going to go shake Trey Parker's and Matt Stone's hand. I will talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Bye.